Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa with
mobile connectivity.
Exactly.
And advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903. Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door Energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months, charged at 5 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Offer not available with free insurance.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 652. This is your host, Danny, and also joining you this week, we have the co-host of the show, Mr. Pete.
Oh my God, hello.
What's going on, man?
Good morning.
What's up?
What is up?
Good, man. Good. You know, we got some couple of trailers, Star Wars and Battlefront 2, the official trailer, and so on. So I hope we could talk about that like later on.
I'm down.
Very interesting stuff. And also joining us this week, Paris.
Happy Easter. Peace and love to everyone.
You sound so positive today.
Yeah, I'm so positive. Wait till we play that first voicemail. See what I say then.
Oh, man. You know what that means? So we're gonna have a whole episode all about fan mail. By the way, keep it up with the voicemails. Loving the questions, feedback, emails, everything. It's a lot of fun, man. So head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. And also you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And also, you can continue to send us voicemails. If you don't want to call us or send us email, you can go to our website and go to SpeakPipe. If you have a smartphone or PC, you can leave also a message through there. Or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. All right, so let's start. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, the first question, this is from George, all the way from Michigan.
This is George from Michigan. Love the show and everything, guys. Just dropping by with a quick message about the Xbox Scorpio and the mention that there's possibility of compatibility with mouse and keyboard. And with that in mind, do you think that Microsoft will go back and bring back some of their titles like Age of Empires and those sort of strategy games that we haven't really seen on the consoles for a while due to, I guess, the controller isn't friendly with those games? Well, just let me know what you think, and loving the show. And Paris, stop being so salty.
See, Paris, stop being so salty.
Okay.
There you go. He stopped.
that was the most real question and answer right there that we could have gotten. Okay.
So do you guys think that Microsoft is going to go back to old strategy games?
No,
I don't see it.
Here's what I think's going to happen, because Phil Spencer's actually addressed this last year when they first unveiled Project Scorpio. They will put PC games on Xbox and Xbox games on PC. That makes sense. I don't see them officially supporting keyboard and mouse, because the whole point of that is go play on the PC, right? The console is supposed to be a living room experience, not a keyboard and mouse experience. So while I get what he's saying, and I do think Age of Empires will come back on the PC, I don't see it being converted to a quote-unquote controller experience to be played on the console. They'll bring it back, but it'll stay on PC, and that's where you use keyboard and mouse. But I like the idea, and I hope Microsoft does take older games that originally were just PC-type experiences and bring them to the console, again, like Phil Spencer said, if it makes sense. But something like Age of Empires, in my opinion, doesn't make sense to put on the console. Just my experience. But hey, I'm salty, so what the hell do I know? I don't know nothing. I'm just well, angry.
Wow. Well, what about you, Pete?
Well, Phil did say back in January, and he said it on Twitter, whether he was responding to somebody that had asked him about keyboard mouse compatibility. And he did say that it won't be there at launch on Scorpio, but it's functionality that Microsoft would like to add in the future. Right. And I agree with Paris. I don't think that the Scorpio is the living room experience that Microsoft is reaching for, especially because it's kind of difficult to sit on your couch and use keyboard and mouse unless you've got like a dinner tray or something pulled up to your couch or whatever. I'd like to see it. I just don't know if there's going to be something that limits or throttles the response time, just because trying to do controller versus keyboard mouse, there's not really a competition there. Keyboard mouse is always going to win in that respect. I would like to see some games a la like Flight Sim be brought over to Scorpio. That's one of the older games that first comes to mind when you really think about PC games and things that never really, took hold onto the Xbox platform, which is a game like, the Flight Simulator. You could sit on your big TV as opposed to being limited to, whatever monitor size you have in your office and get that flight experience or simulation experience. So if there's a game out there I'd like to see brought over, it would be that. I'd like to see keyboard and mouse. It's something I definitely would dig. I just don't know if the console is the right platform for that.
All right. So here's another question. This is from Michael. Hey, Paris, P, and Danny. I'm a new listener. When I started listening to your podcast, I began with your shows back in 2015. I do this with every podcast, so I don't have to wait for a new show to discover how you interact with each other and what other topics you covered. I absolutely loved every episode, and I'm catching up. Be sure that I will be sending you many messages with my questions about consoles and games, etc. Just wanted to say that I listened to plenty of other podcasts, and yours is definitely my favorite. Thank you for always sticking to video games and not bringing up your personal lives into the show every often. I listen to several podcasts where they spend 20 minutes of the show talking about lighting they're putting in their houses, even though they claim to be a gaming podcast. You guys are awesome. Keep it up. Okay. Thanks, Mike. I think it's okay that we talk a little bit about our personal lives and everything, here and there. We stick with our gaming topics and questions and all that stuff. So, because I want people to know what we've been doing is instead of just playing games 24/7, we like to take little breaks here and there. Like what we do at the end of the show, we always bring up like maybe a new trailer from a movie or something that we like, and we talk about that, So, but yeah, keep it up, Michael. And thanks for listening to the show, man. You guys have other questions, emails you would like to read?
Actually, I do. I want to respond, or not respond, but I just want to read something that we got from Cole. Hey, GTR crew, this email is going to be a little long and probably not something that will fit well on the show, but needed to share my gratitude. A few months ago, I started listening to the show from the first episode available on Spotify. After retiring from the Navy, I found myself with a lot of free time and in a deep depression. Gaming before and during the Navy was always a way to pass the time, and when I got out, my depression took away my drive to even pick up a remote. In a few episodes, near or before the 600th, congratulations, I could hear the same pain I felt in Pete's voice. Listening to your show returned my love and devotion to gaming. I found a few of the GTR communities and look forward to playing Ghost Recon Wildlands and Destiny 2 with others. The communities you have built facilitate more than just matchmaking. They help those of us who are in dark places find our way back to our feet. I can't thank you enough, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Keep up the great work, and never forget, your work is more than just entertainment. Very respectfully, Cole Borcher.
So awesome, man. Thanks a lot, Cole, man. Thanks a lot. You guys want to say anything about it?
No, I just thanks. You know, that's all we can say. I mean, A, thanks for your service. We always appreciate those that, you know, that, that go above and beyond. I know Paris is a fellow squid, I believe is the term for fellow Navy mates. I could be wrong. But no, thank you for your service. And it's the least we could do, as a thanks to you for giving us the opportunity and the ability to do what we're doing here. You know, just from the other perspective, you know, we've been talking about that more, and that's especially, you know, one of the great things why we love the Discord channel. Hopefully if you haven't had a chance, please do so and join the Discord server. That's, you know, community is what we've always, you know, strived for here at GTR. And it's, you know, things like the Discord channel and the way we interact with our listeners and our whatnot, whether it be on Twitter or social media, just one of the things that makes this, you know, such a great place.
All right, Paris.
Yeah, I just like you guys said, I just want to say, you know, thanks for that email, because, you know, saying something like that, giving up personal information like that, I know isn't always the easiest thing to do. And even scaling it back to the previous email that you're talking about not talking too much about personal lives, I think, you know, even from our standpoint, it is good sometimes to give up a little bit of ourselves, because if people, it helps people that are listening to us get to know us a little more, and it makes the podcast a little more personal. And then and that's why we get emails like this, because he felt comfortable enough to share that with us and everyone listening to the podcast. So I really appreciate that. And, you know, again, thank you for your service. Yeah, I was in the Navy as well. So fellow squid, and, you know, look, we are the backbone of the military, because there is no military without the United States Navy. So, hey, I appreciate your service. That's real. You ain't getting nowhere without us. How about that?
All right. So we have another call all the way from Virgin Islands.
Morning, Game Attack Radio. This is Damien from the Virgin Islands. Love the show. Hope you guys keep it up. Quick question, though. I've been seeing that since the launch, the Xbox Scorpio has been getting a lot of negative press. Things like nobody acts on Project Scorpio, Kotaku is going in on it. I personally believe it's because Microsoft decided to do an exclusive with Digital Foundry. A lot of these other news outlets seem to be mad and, you know, have decided to bombard the Scorpio with negative press. Do you think with this happening now, will Microsoft get a fair shake from the media moving forward, or will this continue because of this event? What's your take? I'm interested to hear, and keep the good work up, guys.
Do you guys think because of the whole exclusive content that Microsoft gave to Digital Foundry, and I believe now they also been working with like other media outlets throughout the week for like different content too. Do you guys think that maybe some sites has gone mad and probably shots fired to Microsoft? I don't think so. I think it's just more of, you know, maybe some of them will have like some opinions that we probably agree with, and some are just, yeah, you know what, little clickbait here and there, and you know, that's what I think. I don't see them as I'm mad, I'm gonna diss Microsoft. I don't see it that way, but you guys do or not?
Well, I'm gonna hold my salt, and because there's another voicemail talking about this too, where I really want to get into this, but no, I don't think so. I feel like, look, Digital Foundry is the clear leader when it comes to, you know, clear trusted leader, I should say, when it comes to talking about hardware specs, be it PC or console. So if Microsoft was going to have anyone represent them that was going to be considered a neutral third party, I'm going to them. Gamasutra, obviously, you know, in written form would be another trusted source in that. So if any website or person had got butthurtitis about this because they got the exclusive deal, I would say, look in the mirror. I go, would you expect, like, again, I'm not picking on Kotaku, but let's say Microsoft went to Kotaku, right? We're probably not going to trust their opinion as much as we would trust Digital Foundry. And that's just a fact, you know? So Microsoft did the smart thing by going to that outlet to debut the technical specs of Project Scorpio, because you want to know why? I truly believe they're going to hit 4K 60 on their first party titles because Richard Ledbetter said so, versus I don't even want to say anyone's name versus another outlet saying it, you know? Well, I'm like, well, if he's saying it, then I believe him versus, you know, again, someone else saying it. So no, they did the right thing. And if any other outlet had a problem with that, hey, sucks for them. Like I tell anybody, just freaking ignore them. Who cares? You know?
See, like you mentioned about Richard, he's very influential when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
And look, it convinced Paris, out of all people, like, you know what? It's going to hit 4K. And before you were kind of like, I don't know. But because of Digital Foundry content that they revealed, that changed a lot of people's minds now. Now they're like, okay, now we believe this. And it's true. I agree with you with that, man. So, yeah, Pete?
I agree. You know, I could probably, unlikely that I would have said it any better than what Parrish just said. My other opinion on that is Ledbetter comes across probably with a better bedside manner than someone like a Mark Cherney. While he does have a tie to the Sony world and he's very, very smart, he doesn't have that bedside manner that you could sit and listen to, as opposed to someone like Richard Ledbetter. When he goes and he starts going through the technical hardware specs of things, he brings it almost to a comfort level that you can sit there and you can, you know, you can listen to someone talk about tech hardware specs, which sometimes really isn't, you know, all that exciting unless, you know, you're PC, you know, master race type people where you want to know about, you know, teraflops and, you know, and CPU bandwidth and overclocking, things like that. Those things don't always translate well. And when you can have someone like Ledbetter do that, and again, it's not a neck against Cherney. Cherney's a super smart individual, but sometimes, in my personal opinion, and maybe it's just me, but he does come off a little dry, right? So, and at the end of the day, you're going to get negative press no matter what, right? So, I mean, it's just the nature of the beast of media, in my opinion.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so here's an email from Brian. This is going to be an interesting one. Do you think we will see third-party games, like, for example, Destiny 2, shown on the Scorpio, that have marketing deals with Sony? That will be a gangster move by Microsoft if the performance is better. Thanks for the content, Brian. I don't know. I really think that if third-party games have like marketing deals with Sony, I don't see them being shown on Scorpio during the press conference. Maybe closer to the launch of Scorpio, maybe like a video online, but not as a announcement or anything like that, because those third party companies already have marketing deals with Sony. Like, for example, you know, this past weekend we got to see Star Wars Battlefront 2, the trailer. And it's Sony all over, like their logo, promoting PlayStation 4 and everything. I don't see that game being shown at E3 because of that deal, you know? So you guys agree with me or what?
Yeah, I mean, he said it himself, you know, marketing deal, which means money has exchanged hands, which means there's no way. Again, let's just take Destiny as the example. There's no way in hell that Destiny is going to be shown at the Xbox press conference because of the marketing deal. You know, bottom line, yep. Even though, you know, and it's funny because, again, Phil Spencer's has kind of been talking about this. Third-party games potentially will look better on Project Scorpio, you know, if they're, and I know we're going to probably get into this more, if they're developed to their highest potential, then, hey, it has more power. Technically, it should look better on Project Scorpio. But there's no way in hell you're going to see that at the press conference. Like you said, you may see that, you know, closer to launch, but not in an official, hey, I'm trying to sell you on the game capacity, because again, Sony would have the marketing deal in that aspect. So everything that you're going to see is going to be PlayStation related.
Hey there, Gamertag Radio. This is Kevin from Ohio. With all the Project Scorpio talk, I just have something that I'm concerned about. So with Project Scorpio, I don't understand why Microsoft just doesn't release a new console, like in terms of the Xbox or the Xbox 360, where it was the next generational leap. I'm just really wondering why, after the PS4 Pro, why Microsoft decided to do Project Scorpio, where it can play the Xbox One games backward compatible. Because if if you still have if the games are still designed for Xbox One, then what's the point to have a Scorpio unless you want those high-end settings? Like, in my opinion, Microsoft having the most powerful console, they should have done a generational leap. And it's not too soon to do that, because from the Xbox was released in 2001, and then Xbox 360 was in 2005. That was still a year before PS3 and the Wii at the time. And they still had no problem with that generational leap. You would still probably have many cross-platform games between Xbox One and the newer, powerful next-generation Xbox. But it just doesn't make sense, because now I feel we're, even if Project Scorpio is, it's going to be this big, powerful machine, but if it still can only play Xbox One games that have to work on Xbox One, now they get improved settings on the Scorpio. Isn't it the same thing as just having an Xbox 360 for 10 years before Xbox One came out? I'd like to get your feedback on that, because I really think if Project Scorpio was a whole new console, then you could have, I mean, yeah, you would have exclusive games like Halo 6 could be on Project Scorpio exclusive, or a new IP that is just, or a third-party developed IP with Microsoft. Like, they would be exclusive, but they would also be a whole new console. And I don't think it would be a bad idea to jump into that, but obviously they're not going on that path. But it's just kind of weird to me. But I'd like to give your guys' take. Thanks.
So he's concerned about Scorpio.
I get what he's saying, but we knew this going in, so it's not a surprise. And yet, look, I originally thought that this is what Microsoft was going to do, that they're going to say, you know what, screw it. We're going all in with the next gen, and we're just moving forward. We'll have backwards compatibility for Xbox One games, but Project Scorpio is a new generation of gaming. That's what I thought they were going to do, but instead, they did do the PS4 Pro route, where it's going to live inside the Xbox One family, forwards and backwards compatibility. So if you pick up an Xbox One game in November, it will play on Xbox One, One S, and Scorpio, and PC if it's Xbox Play Anywhere, obviously, too. So they're not abandoning the Xbox One platform at all, even despite, you know, Scorpio being so powerful. And in some, I know we talked about this a little bit last week, in that sense, and this goes for PS4 Pro as well, they are being held back in that there's certain things that you're not going to be able to do because they also have to be supported on Xbox One. Sure, it'll be in 4K. Sure, we'll get higher frame rate potentially. But, you know, again, let's take Witcher 3, for example. You can't expand the open world and make it even bigger and better because Xbox One would hold it back. Because Xbox One wouldn't be able to support a bigger world in that sense, if you get what I mean. So, yeah, it could potentially hold back some level design things, or, you know, maybe some effect things. But just like in PC gaming, you can turn down those effects to then work on Xbox One and turn them up to work on Project Scorpio. So I get what he's saying. Sure, there'll be some gaming things that we potentially won't be able to see because of them still supporting the PS4 and Xbox One. But at the same time, you are still getting a power boost with the higher resolution and frame rate. So there you go. I'm done. I'll shut up and pour some salt on it.
No, and at the end of the day, I think it's a real generation leap if you compare it to the original Xbox One. Maybe not so much from the Xbox One S, or at least specifically the PlayStation 4 Pro. It's more of a mid-gen gap if you really consider that one as your base to compare the platforms. Will we see another one in a couple of years? Potentially, but I think what they're doing now is a really smart move, especially pushing the hardware to drive the software, which generally it's usually the other way around, where everybody has to manipulate or change their software to be comparable or be workable with the hardware specs. So I think they did it right. I just hope that it's not too much.
All right. So here's another voicemail all the way from Florida.
Hey guys, big fan of the podcast. Started listening a couple of months ago. My name is Dan from Fort Lauderdale. And my question is this. Given that Scorpio was given the specs, and PS4 Pro is already out, are we looking at a risk where developers are going to be too afraid to fully utilize the hardware on these consoles? It seems like it's going to be a repeat of history with the PS Vita, when it was too powerful for its own good, that it was a risk for games to be made on it, hence why the 3DS did so well. Curious to know your thoughts. I personally think it's not going to be utilized until many, many years later, but want to know your guys' thoughts. So thanks. Keep up the good work. Bye.
And the answer is yes. Third party, yes, because they're going to go to a baseline. So you're not going to see the full potential of Scorpio and PS4 Pro on third-party games. First party, you absolutely will. We already see a prime example of that with Horizon Zero Dawn. Look how amazing that is on PS4 Pro, right? We're going to see that with Forza 7 and Crackdown 3 and all the first-party games that'll be coming, you know, this holiday for Project Scorpio. But third party, again, I'll take Destiny as the example. Again, Destiny 2 will not be as amazing as it potentially could be, because they still have to develop it for PS4 and Xbox One, even despite it being on Scorpio the Pro and on PC. You know what I mean? If it was just a Scorpio PS4 Pro PC game, then there's more things they potentially could do, but it will be held back in that sense. But like I said, first party games, look, Phil Spencer will go to developers of Crackdown 3 and say, look, you make this work on Xbox One, but y'all better go balls to the wall on Scorpio and turn everything up to 11 on it, right? But a third-party developer is not going to do that, because they only have so many cycles and they have to make sure that it works across a multitude of platforms. And again, you always have to come in with the lowest common denominator, and right now that's going to be PS4 and Xbox One.
Don't you think, though, that because it's essentially, and we'll use Scorpio just for the base of this part of the discussion, because Scorpio is essentially a PC and it's using DX12 and all of the other stuff, do you think that, and I think we may have spoken about this previously in another show, do you think that it'd be easier for the developers to essentially code in PC and then just port to console?
Well, I mean, if you read that letter that Phil Spencer put out on Xbox.com this week, I mean, that's essentially what he's saying, is they're making the Xbox One platform, Scorpio, whatever the hell you want to call it, easy for developers to use, to utilize. That's the whole point of UWP and Xbox Play Anywhere. It's like, look, you make one SKU. And then, see, Danny, I said SKU. You make one.
Yes.
You develop one SKU, and it scales up or down on the Xbox platform, depending on where you're trying to play it. That's where they're trying to get to with that. So they'll make basically one game, and then, yeah, it works on Xbox One. It'll scale down for Xbox One, but then it'll scale up for Project Scorpio and PC.
Now, I really dig the direction Microsoft's taking with this, and we've said it before. It's not 2011 hardware specs on a 2013 console launch. It's 2017 specs on a 2017 console with an eye towards the future. My question / concern is Microsoft's past history with hardware. Do you think, I mean, we've had the Red Ring of Death on the 360, Wi-Fi and hard reset issues on Xbox One. I'm pretty sure that this is pretty up there on the list of concerns of, you know, that Phil, Aaron, and everybody else at Microsoft has. Do you think that's going to be an issue with Scorpio?
I don't know. I mean, obviously there's the potential. Never say never. Potentially right. Could be. I would say percentage wise, 75% of me says no, it won't be a problem.
All right, so we have a sponsor for this week, right?
Yes, our sponsor this week is Dell, and more specifically, Dell Gaming. Dell Gaming creates machines to make every experience more intense and real, from powerful Dell gaming PCs with Intel Core processors to the ultimate Alienware VR-ready experience. There's a PC designed to bring your best game at every level, because the best feature of a gaming machine is the power to make you forget it's there. Don't just play game. Visit Dell.com/gaming to learn more. That's Dell.com/gaming.
Thanks, Dell, for sponsoring this week's episode of Gamer Tag Radio. All right, so we have another voicemail. This is from Greg.
Hey, guys. This is Greg from New Orleans. Give you guys a call. I was replying earlier today to Paris on Twitter about, you know, the Scorpio and some media bias and all that stuff. And while I don't think most websites have a media bias against the Xbox, I said the example about how Kotaku says they don't, you know, they kind of do have bias against certain things. But I don't think that these hate opinions against anything, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, that certain media outlets or quote-unquote media outlets, a.k.a. fake media outlets that usually propagate N4G, I don't think they're good. I think they're cancerous, and I think they need to go. Granted, I know that's not going to be something that we can do, but as a community, we need to acknowledge that it exists, that it's bad, and that it needs to be ignored. But we're all gamers, and as the gaming community, we can't sit back and just look at something that's objectively that's bad. It's just, this is bad for the community, even if you are a PlayStation or Nintendo fan and it's negative Microsoft, you may shuffle in the background. But in the grand scheme of things, there's something, if Microsoft does not succeed to a level to where they can stay in the business, it's not good for the entire business. And these websites, their job and what they're trying to do is possibly sink the Xbox brand. Again, will they succeed? Probably not, but they do have a hand in just making the community more cancerous than it already is. And we all know when you go to the comment section on websites just how bad we can be as a gaming community. So I'm just saying, you know, these websites on N4G, they get linked, you know, negatives, you know. And if you go to N4G, I'm sure you've seen, that's a ridiculously slanted site against Microsoft. It has been since the generation started. And for what I've been told, last gen, it was against Sony. So, again, none of this is good. It's hate speech. I mean, hate speech for game consoles, I guess. But it's just not good. It's cancerous. And we do better than, instead of ignoring it, acknowledging that it exists, speaking out against it, and moving forward. That's my opinion.
All right, Paris, I believe he was going back and forth with you on Twitter.
No, he wasn't going back and forth with me. And I'm going to just say this now. When you respond me with all this media bias nonsense on Twitter, I do not respond, because this is the most annoying thing ever. I cannot stand this. There is no media bias. There isn't. Because I'm going to tell you right now, do you really think Ben Kuchera, I'm just going to pick on him for example at Polygon, do you think he wakes up in the morning and go, all right, rubbing his hand, all right, how can I screw Microsoft today? Let me type it out. No. No one does that. Dude, they're reporters. And I believe we met Greg before. We met him mm-hmm. at E3. He's a reporter. It's like, dude, come on, really? Do you really think people?
You mean Ben? You mean Ben?
No.
We met Greg.
Greg.
I think a year or two ago at the Microsoft conference.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, pay attention, Dave.
Oh wait, where they're? Oh, okay, my bad. I'm way lost. I'm so sorry.
No. We met Greg, and I'm not trying to pick on him specifically, but it's just overall, I've been hearing this the last couple weeks now since the Project Scorpio unveil. There's a media bias against Microsoft. People are trying to get, like, dude, stop going to N4G. N4G is the freaking TMZ of the gaming world. I'd never go there to read anything because it's just nonsense. Any credible website, they do not have a bias. These are people that is their paid job to report on what they see. You may not like how they title it or how they present it to you, but at the end of the day, it's facts. It's real concerns. It's not made up. They're not lying about anything they're saying, because I have the same exact concern. The power of Project Scorpio is amazing, but guess what? If there ain't no games, the hell am I getting it for? Right? Here's a dumb analogy for you. If I got a Lamborghini and I don't put no gas in it, the hell I'm using it for? You know? It's just sitting there. You need
it. Just looks cute.
Yeah.
It's just there.
It looks great on a spec sheet, but to put it into actual real world use, you need quality games on it. And that's just a fact. That's just reality. So you may not like that media outlets point that out, but it's the truth. And then he, you know, he goes on talking about, you know, it being very toxic and cancerous and potentially, you know, Xbox going out of business because of the negative press. Dude, Microsoft is fine. They will throw money at the situation. Xbox is not going anywhere anytime soon. That is not even a concern right now. You know, look, Sony is the clear leader. We get that. But Microsoft has made great strides over the past few years to fix the problems from when they originally launched the Xbox One. And I feel like when we get to this holiday, that's no longer an issue. It really just comes down to platform preference, play the games that you want to play and have fun. But as far as media bias goes, if you don't like what someone says in the media, ignore them. Ignore them. Why are you letting it affect you that you got to argue about it on Twitter and all this stuff? It's like, da 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 da. And it's like, really, dude, there is no bias. There isn't. Look, if some clown at some blog that he just made up wants to spew trash and all that, he's a clown. Ignore him. If it's IGN, Polygon, Kotaku, Gamasutra, Eurogamer, etc., these are credible websites. You may not like what they say, but it's their job to report it. And I say this, look, this is the salty me going way back to the first voicemail. This is the salt right here because I can't stand it. It's like, look, I'm not a professional. I'm just an idiot that talks on a microphone and rambles on Twitter, right? But if someone doesn't like what I say, ignore me. Ignore me. But those websites, IGN's been around, what, 20, 25 years at this point? Do you really, think they have a bias against something? No, they're just reporting what they see. And that's why, because I know people got mad at Podcast Unlocked because Ryan McCaffrey and those guys weren't excited enough about Scorpio. Are you freaking kidding me? They are an Xbox podcast. That is all they talk about. Are. You know, so in other words, they were just being honest. Would you rather them lie to you and pretend to be super excited about something? Or would you rather them tell you the truth and give their honest feedback? That's all they did. And that's all we do on this podcast. We give our honest feedback. And if you don't like it, don't listen to us. Because we're not professionals. We're not anything. We're just like you guys, and we just give our opinion. And at the end of the day, that's what all this stuff is. It is opinion, and we're all entitled to it. And no, negative opinions are not going to ruin the gaming industry. If anything, you need the positive, and you need the negative. They balance themselves out.
You need the sugar, and you need the salt.
Yeah, and I'm bringing the salt.
You need
it's
both.
It's called me Morton's.
And believe it or not, you know, I love seeing Microsoft in second place or last place, whatever. Like, it makes them more hungry. Competition would be better for us as the consumers, man. Like, go for it, man. I think it's a good thing. You know, remember the last generation when Sony was in second place? What happened? Console went down in price. Better games. Better experience. And then more people start buying PlayStation 3s. You know, same thing with Microsoft. Launch was kind of crappy, and then throughout the years, it's been getting better and better and better. So, I don't know. And all that happened was because all of us giving our opinion, good or bad, to make gaming even better. You know, so I don't see an issue. I don't know why people take it so personal, man. When it comes to the like negative opinions, man. Look, I remember Paris when we were interviewing Phil Spencer. You told him straight up to him during our interview. You didn't like Kinect.
Yeah, it'd be funny if you could find that clip and play it right now. Because, yeah, I straight up looked him right in the face and told him, hey, I don't like Kinect.
They got to win with games first. That's got to be the number one priority.
Now, you removed Kinect a few weeks ago. You made that announcement, and I understand your reasons for doing it. But since it has been removed, what are you going to do to incentivize gamers? Like let me backtrack and say this. I wasn't a fan of Kinect.
Okay.
I always felt it should have been an optional device from day one.
Okay.
Just simply because in my family environment, it wasn't 100% reliable.
Okay.
So my wife, if she says Xbox on more than twice, she's never going to say it again.
Right.
Type of thing.
Right.
So I understand why you took it out of the box, and I actually do appreciate that. But what are you going to do to give that incentive for someone that does buy the Xbox One without Kinect to now say, I need to go buy Kinect. I need to add it to my system.
It's a really good question because I think it centers around what Kinect has always, whether it's actually included or not included, when somebody uses Kinect, they've got to find it to be a delightful experience and worth what they spent on it. Our decision to offer Xbox without Kinect bundled in at $399 was all about giving consumers choice.
Right.
Because like you say, hey, this isn't, I'm still on the fence. I know I want Xbox One. I know I want to play Halo and Sunset Overdrive and Forza. Like, I want to go play these games, so I'm going to buy an Xbox One. I'm not sure yet about Kinect, and we're giving you the option to start off without Kinect. We're still going to continue to evolve the Kinect experience, both with games. You know, we had Harmonix on stage. We've got a bunch of Kinect playable games here on the floor people can go try. We're going to stay invested in what Kinect is and continue to evolve it, but I want you to be able to make the buying decision when you think it's right for you, and that's what this decision was all about.
And it wasn't a thing of, you know, I'm saying it to him to be snarky. I was being honest. And look, face to face, he respected that. He appreciated that. You know, it's like, okay, we made something you don't like. How can we fix it? And if you look at Phil Spencer's track record since he took over the past 3 years, he's been all about what does the community like, what don't they like, and what can we do to fix the things that they don't like? Because that has essentially been his job for the last 3 years. And I think we're now at the point where we're seeing the culmination of that with Project Scorpio and, you know, Xbox Play Anywhere and Games for Gold and the backwards compatibility stuff, Xbox Elite controllers, all this stuff. These are things that we wanted as a community. And they listened to us, and we're getting them now. You know, look, I refuse to take credit for this because I really don't believe this. But, you know, like I told Albert Pinello, when he was on the podcast years ago, when Aaron about when you boot up the screen and it doesn't go directly into TV mode because there wasn't a feature for that.
And I'm going to take it a little more personal on this one. I want to talk about live TV for a second. So when I got the Xbox One at launch, you know, I was excited to try the HDMI in, hooked my DVR up to it, did that whole thing for live TV. Well, what I found after a few days, it wasn't going to pass the wife approval factor, so I had to take it off.
Really?
Simply because, here's why. Because my wife wants to use one remote to turn on everything, and it's full screen. So there was no way I was going to get her to be able to use the Xbox One controller to make it go full screen. Or, you know, to turn off the Xbox and then she has to turn on the DVR. She was flipping back and forth between the two. So it was basically a non-starter. So we had to disconnect it. And I get that. Like the analogy I've made on our podcast is if I was a single guy, I'd use it all the time. No problem. I wouldn't have an issue with it. But the main question I have for you is we have Fios, for example. Mm-hmm. And Verizon obviously has an app on the Xbox One and I use it from time to time. My thing is, can we expect, or is this something that you have in discussion to basically turn the Xbox One into just the complete solution of being the cable box and being the DVR? Because as I say, right now with the HDMI in, it's a non-starter for me. It's not something that I can use.
So that's a good question. And actually it's super good feedback. This, like it's so funny how having been in the games industry as long as I have and sort of watching how people's expectations have grown. And I think it's great because I think it challenges us to like get everything right and you sort of learn. But like the TV stuff, we're just starting out, right? It's totally new. Here's what I love about what you just said, which is the first, like the idea last generation that you'd be watching TV through your Xbox, your video game console would have been like crazy. Like I would have been burned at the stake as some sort of witch if I had told you in 2005, we're going to be watching TV through your Xbox, right? Like put yourself back in your mind back then. You're like, you're kidding, man. I'm just playing DVDs on this thing. So now it's like, hey, I tried it and it turns out there's just a couple of things it doesn't do to perfect for me. And that is a huge accomplishment in my mind because the things that you just said are totally things we can fix.
And then what, 6 months later, they had that feature. I don't think I'm directly responsible for it, but I'm sure other people were complaining about that. They listened and they fixed it. You know, that's where, you know, everything can't be sugar, spice and unicorns and rainbows. Right. That's where sometimes you do have to point out what a company is doing wrong. You can do it in a respectful way. It doesn't have to be negative and trolling and all that. As long as you're respectful to these people, they listen. Because, look, I would rather someone point out what I'm doing wrong than what I'm doing right, because I want to fix the things that I'm doing wrong. So that's just where I come from.
They may
from.
Just not even job. Be focused on things like that. So they wouldn't exactly. realize, you know, exactly. what they're doing wrong or incorrectly, or what the people are, you know, because they've got a specific vision that they're going towards. So their focus is that. And sometimes things, you know, that are off in the periphery or off to the side don't get that focus. And those might be the things that the people want. As far as media bias, I wouldn't say that they're not there looking for something like that, or they don't have a personal agenda or vendetta. But as a writer, your job is to foster discussion. And sometimes those discussions just may not be what you specifically have in mind as your opinion. You know, so some people, you know, may write things that are counter to the general belief. And sometimes, you know, and like Paris said, you know, it may not be the general gaming media, like the Kotakus and the IGNs and all this, but there are sites that's pretty much their bread and butter, right? They go out there and they throw out the snark and the bias and they focus on the negatives and not as much, you know, not as much focus on the positives. You know, everybody's going to always look for the, you know, for the most part, it's like watching the news. You never watch the local news to look for good news. It's always, oh, you know, there was an accident here. There was, you know, something bad. Here's a burglary there. They never, you know, mm-hmm. I don't even think there would be news if all they did was talk about the good stuff in the world. And I wow. And maybe because it's Easter and everybody's happy today, but you know, maybe we need more of that in the world, not just on the internet, you know, just in the world. We need more positive news.
But anyways, thanks for the call, man. All right. So this is another voicemail. This is from Michael.
Hey, Gamertag crew. This is Michael from Salem, Oregon. I was calling because I just listened to your latest episode, episode 650, and I had a comment and a question. The comment being, there was a caller that stated that he thinks that the WW2 for the next Call of Duty stands for World at War. The reason I don't think that's a possibility is because World at War was created by Treyarch, and this year it's Sledgehammer, so for that to be a possibility, Treyarch would either have to give the license for that name or work on the game with them. So I don't think that's a possibility. But my question is, do you guys think PlayStation is going to put out something to kind of compensate for this big rush of Xbox stuff? Because Xbox has been in the limelight because of all the Xbox Scorpio stuff coming out and the specs. And I'm wondering, you know, because you guys always talk about competition is good for the industry. I'm wondering if this competition will stir up something in Sony to bring out something really good. And then hopefully that will carry on to Microsoft doing the same thing. So hope to hear from you guys. Thanks. Bye.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, he makes a valid point. You know, World at War originally was done by Treyarch, and this one will be Sledgehammer. At the end of the day, it's still an Activision title. And, you know, if Sledgehammer decides, you know, if Activision decides that this is going to be World at War, who knows if it is or not. If it is, more power to them. At the end of the day, you know, Activision as the owner of that IP is going to, you know, determine the direction that they're going to go. As far as his second comment, whether Sony will do something to counter the positive Microsoft publicity, marketing is marketing, and you're always going to try to steer where the public is or where the public perception is, whenever you can, to make sure that your product is in the limelight. Will they do something? Who knows? Do they have anything coming out in the near future that could sway that? From a hardware perspective, they've already played their cards and they're going full on with PlayStation 4. Who knows, during the holiday season when Scorpio potentially comes out, would Sony come out and say, hey, look, PlayStation 5 on the horizon. Have a nice day.
I think they do have something planned. And you know what it is? It's games. It's not hardware. It's games. That's all they need right now.
You don't
Simple
know
as that.
You never know. You never know.
Well, what do you mean? You don't know. We've been checking out trailers throughout the years. I mean, you're trying to tell me that they're not going to release more games? They
never
are.
Never said that they weren't.
I'm
supposition,
saying.
Dude. Who knows? They could. And that's all. At the end of the day, we don't know what's going on in Cherny's head. We don't know what's going on in the Sony boardrooms. We have no idea. They could be doing. I'm pretty sure they're already doing games. They've already got that on lock. We've determined that this generation. But I think the question was more, what is Sony trying to do to counter that publicity? Hey, right now everybody's focused on hardware because it's all about Scorpio. Do we think that there's a potential PS5 on the horizon? When would be the right time to do that? Right around the launch time for the Scorpio. Who knows? Again, we're all talking outside of our necks right now because we have no idea what's going on in those boardrooms. But that's just what's going on in my head.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to announce like a cheaper price to compete with Scorpio, which makes sense for later this year. But I think for them to announce a new hardware too soon, way too soon, I think. Give it maybe like 2 to 4 years. Yeah, they could make an announcement, but not this year. Just my opinion. Patrick, you want to say anything before we go to the next one?
No, I mean, I've said in the past, when as far as hardware goes, I don't think we'll hear anything about a PS5 until 2019. And then it probably comes out in 2020.
Okay. All right, so that's it with voicemails and emails. So thank you. Keep it up. We have more for Thursday's episode. But before we wrap it up, I want to bring this topic very quick to you guys. Your thoughts about no more NES Classics. That's it. Nintendo is done with it, and it's only been a couple of months. Whoever has it, more power to you. I know a lot of people are going to be selling this probably on eBay and other places too. So your thoughts, guys. Okay, that was a random announcement from Nintendo.
Nintendo being Nintendo. I mean, look, you kill it now because you take all the games that would be on there, you repackage them, go buy a Switch. You want to play them because that's where they're going to be. That's all they're doing. Money. They're making us just rebuy. Look, that's why I said the most genius thing Nintendo could ever do is flesh out that online service and put all their back catalog on Switch. I know I'll be an idiot and buy that stuff, so why not? Get rid of the Classic, take that incentive away from people to get the old NES games and make them get them on the Switch. Now you got to go spend $300 to get a Switch.
Mm-hmm. And here's another thing, too. Remember, right before the Nintendo Switch launch, everybody was saying, oh, they don't have enough games and this and that, and it's only Zelda. But Nintendo Switch, this is according to the NPD, Nintendo Switch sold over 900,000 units in North America during the month of March. And it becomes the fast-selling video game system in Nintendo's history. So I think that's great news, man, for Nintendo. It's been a very long time that we heard something like that coming from them. It's always been, you know, either Xbox has sold the most or PlayStation. So this is good. This is good. And, you know, every month there's something big coming out every month for the Switch. You know, now coming up in a couple of weeks is Mario Kart 8, which I think that is going to push the system even more, in my opinion, way more than Zelda. Then Minecraft is coming up. Splatoon is coming out. What else? It's going to be a couple more. Oh, yeah, ARMS and so on. So this is good, man. This is a very strong year for Nintendo. So what are your thoughts about that, man, before we wrap it up?
Like you said, or like Paris said, it's smart for Nintendo because it gives them an opportunity to start building out and fleshing out the virtual store for the Nintendo, for the Switch in particular. I agree with a friend of mine on Facebook who wrote about it, that it's essentially a slap in the face for people who supported them for years because it's now difficult or impossible to get one without paying triple the price on eBay and Amazon. Like, I see it and I think it was a stopgap, but I don't like how they just threw it out for a quick flash in the pan cash grab, and then okay, now you want it. Now if you want to play this and you couldn't get it, you know, during the holiday season, jump back on over here. And you can, I don't know. I don't like the whole direction that they did that. I think they should have done one or the other. I just don't agree with the way that this whole thing was handled. I'm not a fan.
All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play that 84/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes or you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
Yeah, there might be some moonwalking on my side. That Battlefront 2 official trailer showing stormtroopers that can actually hit targets, and it's Janina. I'm done. The wallet's creeping out the back pocket now.
And it's also you're playing from the dark side.
Yeah, from the perspective,
which is interesting.
Of yeah. this Spec Ops group. And I loved it, that one scene where the trooper's sitting there trying to get his gun ready to shoot at things, and every time he goes to shoot, one of the Spec Ops troopers actually kills them. I think it's called Inferno Squad. He's like shooting at all the ones before he gets a chance. Just like, well, what am I here for if y'all are doing all the hard work? So, yeah, man, looks fantastic. I mean, the character modeling for her character, I think her name is Eden Versio, looks mm-hmm. spot on. It looks like her. And you saw more of that whole Darth Maul scene with Yoda. I don't know. Looks really interesting. I'm starting to get hyped again.
That's good, man. Good for Janina, man.
Yep.
I'm going to hit her up probably one of these days. We'll see. We'll see. Hopefully we see her there in E3.
That'd be great.
All right, very quick, Paris, very quick. So the new trailer for Star Wars just came out. That's coming out in this December. You said you didn't like it that much.
That is not what I said. Stop putting words in my mouth.
No. But I'm saying compared to like the last movie, you know, it was like it pumped you up. It got you excited. I think, in my personal opinion, I think it's better this way. More questions about... I have a lot more questions now about the movie. Keep it like that, and you know, I at the end of the day, we all gonna go see the movie, you know. But I bet you that the movie is gonna be better than the last one. I think than the last episode. But trailer, hey, keep it like that. Cool. Your thoughts?
Well, you've already said what I thought, so you want me to say it again? I just thought it was okay.
All right. Well, there you go, guys. He thinks it's okay.
I mean, jokes aside. Yeah. I mean, it didn't. Okay. You know what the problem was? That came out right after the Thor Ragnarok trailer where I'm watching Thor and I'm like, man, this just looks fun. I can't wait to go see this. This is going to be a blast. And then Star Wars comes out and it, like you said, it's very subdued. Didn't give you a lot, so it didn't grab me the same way. And look, don't get me wrong, I'm there day one in a camped out in a tent waiting to go see Star Wars. You know, I'm not saying that at all, but just from a trailer perspective, yeah, they obviously went for a different tone with this one. And I'm sure there'll be more trailers and stuff that'll come out later that'll be, you know, a lot more exciting and want you to get in it. This was more about Luke versus everything else that was going on, I think, you know, but looking back at it now, so. I mean, the movie will be fine. I mean, it'll be amazing, I'm sure. So, can't wait for it.
I think this one's going to be very dark.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think so.
I mean, well, this is another podcast for another day. I already have a theory on Luke, but we'll talk about that some other day.
Oh, we'll talk about that behind the scenes.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Let us know your thoughts, comments, and all that, man, because I know I'm very excited about the movie. So. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.